You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
The flattering self-image many Canadians hold of our country is that we are peacekeepers. That image is eroding, but it still lingers. So we've contacted Richard Sanders, a coordinator of the Coalition to Oppose the Arms Trade, to explain just how deeply implicated we in Canada are in the business of war. And we've reached Richard in Ottawa. Hi, Richard, and welcome to Red Eye again.
Hi, Mordecai. How are you?
Fine, thanks. War business, business of war, trade fairs. What do we have in the way of trade fairs in Canada?
Military arms bazaars or military trade shows, exhibitions. We have a few of those held across Canada in different places. The largest one's held in Ottawa, but there's also one in Halifax, and you used to have one out there in Abbotsford. Do you still have that show out there in Abbotsford with the conjunction with the air show?
Not in the form it was, no.
Okay, all right.
Is the one in Ottawa, I think goes by the acronym CANSEC, is that, would you say, a world-class arms show?
Yeah, it seems to be pretty big. I don't know. It's not as big as ones that are held in London, England, or in Paris, or in Washington, and places like that. But it's pretty big. I mean, they have several hundred military companies come in and showing off their stuff. It's getting bigger every year. The organization, the association that puts it on, is called the Canadian Association of Defense and Security Industries. It's quite a nice little euphemism. It's basically the lobby group and voice of the war industries in Canada. And they have about 800 members now. Now, that's not anywhere near all of the military companies in Canada. There are thousands of military companies scattered across Canada, but those are about the 800 largest military companies in Canada. And they make everything from missiles and rockets and armored vehicles to, you know, components, high-tech electronic components and radar and, you know, structural components for aircraft and everything in between.
I'd like to get a little bit more into the weaponry that we're implicated in, but you did mention this lobby group, and
yep.
Is this lobby group have some connection with the government itself? I mean, presumably, it should be, as lobby groups are, outside of government trying to pressure
so.
Them.
Yeah, you would hope so. But actually, what I found is that that the Department of Foreign Affairs and International Trade, which is a government department, funds this military industry lobby group. And they pay them to specifically for their work in promoting international exports, in promoting military sales overseas. Well, not necessarily overseas, because most of it goes to the United States. Most of our military exports go to the U.S., about 75%. But the government is actually paying to the tune of, they've paid them a few hundred thousand dollars over the last few years. But I find that really extraordinary. Maybe it's not out of the ordinary, but I find it astonishing that the government would actually be paying a lobby group. I mean, here is a lobby group that's, you know, one of its main functions is to pressure the government to get them to spend more on the military, to, you know, to restrict soften restrictions, making it easier for military companies to export, et cetera, et cetera. And the government is actually paying these guys to come and lobby it. I mean, doesn't that strike you as a sort of a conflict of interest?
It strikes me as a joint endeavor of like-minded folks.
Yes, that's it.
There are also funds that the Canadian government takes our pension plan and puts invested into military companies.
Yes, that's another way that The government basically seems, on almost every front, doesn't it? It seems to think of itself as a way of funneling money to private corporations. And the same thing, that's exactly their role in terms of military industries as well. And one of the ways they do it, besides just taking money right out of our taxes and funneling it into the military, they also take it take our money through our contributions to the Canada Pension Plan, and then invest in military industries. And they invest in many of the world's largest weapons producers, the world's largest prime contractors of military hardware, like major weapon systems. We're talking about warplanes and, in particular, kind of a weapon system that that's used, of course, in wars around the world these days. And to give you an example, the Boeing and Lockheed Martin, which are two of the world's largest weapons manufacturers, the Canada Pension Plan invests about $50 million invested in those two companies, and they make things like the AH-64, the F-15, and the F-16, which are warplanes, and the AH-64 is an attack helicopter. And all of these things are, of course, used by Israel, and they were used in Gaza, in attacking Gaza last year.
Now, you were talking earlier about the weapons that we're involved in manufacturing. What would you say are the top weapon systems that that Canada contributes to?
Well, that's really hard to say because we contribute to so many. You know, I found that there's about 100 companies that I've managed to identify that make various different components, provide products and various different services used in the manufacture of major weapon systems. Dozens of warplane, different varieties of warplanes, for example, and attack helicopters and tanks and warships and everything. The main weapon systems, there's just so many weapon systems. The main companies in Canada, the top military industries in Canada are Lockheed Martin Canada, L3 Communications, CAE, General Dynamics, Raytheon. Those are the top five military industries in Canada, and they're all involved in they all exhibit at the CANSEC war show, and they're all, of course, members of this association that I mentioned earlier. And they make all sorts of things different, like, for instance, L3 Communications makes weapons electronics and navigation systems for warships and laser targeting systems, and Lockheed Martin Canada makes shipborne command and control, airborne sensors, electronic warfare systems, and CAE is from Montreal. It's a famous one. It's one of the world-class, it's the top war industry in the world. It actually is in the top 100 war industries in the whole world. And it makes these technologies for military training and rehearsal, and that are also used for weapons design. It's complicated systems so that they simulate the experience of various different kinds of experiences. So, for example, they can simulate the experience of being in a cockpit so that when you're training a pilot or when you're getting a pilot to rehearse his attack, then you just sit him down in one of these fake cockpits and he's looking out the window and he sees the landscape exactly as it will be on his mission so that he can practice dropping the bombs on wherever he's dropping bombs on so that he can do that mission, 100 times. Then when he goes out to actually do the real thing, he's already done it in the little box with this incredible simulation technology that replicates the experience of what it's like. And they also use that same sort of that same technology which replicates, simulates experiences. They can use that to create weapon systems. So CAE had a major contract with Boeing, which is the main missile defense weapons producer in the world, and so CAE was helping them to produce and create missile defense weapons technology.
Is my memory correct that the parts that we manufacture here in Canada, for military weaponry that's sold to the United States, that you can't access the figures, finances of how much that is?
Well, the Department of Foreign Affairs and International Trade is for about the last 20 years has been putting out an annual report. Now it's only put out a couple of them over the last 5 or 6 years, but none of these reports include any data whatsoever on U.S. On exports to the United States. So it'll and that's, as I said, it's like 75% of the total, or 72% of the total of our military exports go to the U.S., but none of that data is included in the government's reporting. So here's this document that they say is supposed to be, perfect model of, or the best model of openness for such reporting in the world, and it doesn't even report on our military exports to the U.S. So we have to piece that together through other sources. But we know, for example, from those reports that Canada's military exports go to about, how many countries is it? About 90 countries. And 62 of those countries are engaged in war, mostly in Iraq and Afghanistan, because there's a lot of countries, of course, have troops there. So over the last few years that we have data for, we've got 62 of the 90 countries engaged in war that we're exporting military goods to, and the government says that it's very strict about exporting to, it doesn't export military goods to countries at war, and it's just blatantly doing the very thing that it says that it doesn't do.
And all this, of course, that we're discussing here in terms of private companies and their sales and profits is separate from what the Canadian government directly expends on our own war-making and military.
Right, of course.
And what is that figure?
That I'm not sure what the exact figure is on that. I think we're around maybe $20 billion or something per year, close to. I've been focusing more on the military industries and what they produce and where it goes and that sort of thing. And another point on the military exports to the U.S. I want to make sure that people realize this is that there are no permits required. If a company wants to export military goods to the United States, it doesn't require a permit. Government requires military export permits for all countries in the world, except if a company in Canada wants to export to the U.S., it doesn't even require a permit to do it.
Yeah. Well, you're part of the opposition to this, and we'd like to refer people to your website. Could you just share that with us so that if they wanted more information on not just what are the scope and scale and precise figures with regards to the business of war, but also if they're interested in opposing that, they can get information.
Sure. The easiest way to find this information on the web is to Google COAT, C-O-A-T. If you just type in C-O-A-T or COAT into the Google search engine, it will be right at the top of the list. COAT stands for Coalition to Oppose the Arms Trade. So Googling COAT will get you right to our website. That's the easiest way to do it. And you'll find, I did a report on Canadian military exports, which we've just been touching on very briefly and on the surface here, but a very detailed report, with lots of figures and names of countries and companies and all that sort of thing in there. So if people want to get more details, sure, that would be great to, or if they want to get involved. And there's also a lot of other information on our website, because we have a magazine and all the back issues the last 10 years of back issues are up on our website.
Well, thank you very much, and I know your publications are really excellent. So thanks for that work, and thanks for speaking with us this morning.
Well, thanks a lot. Thanks to you.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
I've been speaking with Richard Saunders. He's coordinator with the Coalition to Oppose the Arms Trade, COAT, and you'll find it on the web.